You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Gadlu, ganamia na tampanti, paniata matanya puki unanku. Gadlu tampanti, ganamia na purapurana, pankarawama gana, gana kuntiata. This translates to, we acknowledge the Kaurna people, they are the landowners from a long time ago. We recognize the Kaurna people are still alive. And the territory of the Kaurna Plains is exclusively Kaurna land. The earth warms. Birdsong grows. Sweeter breezes bring scents of blossom, and the earth holds hope in its seeds and buds. Come, let us gather this morning. Gather with a joyful noise, with warm hearts, and with hopeful spirits. For we are one with the renewal of the earth, and blessedly held in the love of one another. Well, good morning again, and welcome to this service of worship. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church. I welcome you on behalf of generations of Unitarians who've worshipped in similar gatherings since 1854. We are fortunate in South Australia to have church services at all, so it's important we comply with pandemic conditions. Jenny is our COVID marshal today out front, and if she gives you any directions, please comply. I'd like to remind you to make sure you've signed in because a record of attendance is mandatory. It's our COVID agreement, mandatory for our COVID agreement with the government. Now, members of the church don't need to leave contact details, but non-members need to do so we can comply with contact tracing regulations. In that context of social responsibility, I'd also like to remind you that this is a church with a highly individualistic ethos. We are a spiritual community that encourages all who come to find, fashion, and follow their own personal spiritual path in freedom and responsibility, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all people. I do have a story, a very old traditional folktale from Korea. that I'd like to share with you. Would you guys like to come up? The story is called The Magic Spring. There's this husband and wife that live in the Korean countryside, and they have a very happy life living in near a beautiful forest, but they're sad to have never been able to have a child. And they have great relations with everybody around. They have great relationship with their neighbor. Their neighbor is kind to them, but they notice that their neighbor is kind of a greedy person. He's always sort of trying to get more land, catch more animals, and so on. But as I say, they get along fine, and they love each other, and they love their farm. And it's next to this beautiful forest, full of wildflowers and bird song. And one day, the husband, pictured here, is in the field and he hears this beautiful bird singing. And he feels like the bird is singing specifically to him, calling him. So he follows the sound into the forest and he goes deep into the forest where he finally sees the bird sitting over a beautiful spring of fresh water. He enjoys the music, but he gets thirsty after a while and drinks from the spring because the spring is running water and it's fresh, and he feels suddenly great. He thanks the bird for his song and he returns home, and he gets home. His wife doesn't recognize him, barely recognizes this youthful man at her door, and they realize that he has drunk from the fountain of youth. And the next morning, they don't know what to do about it. Now he's young, she's old, and they talk about it through the night. And the next morning, they agree it's best if the woman also goes to the same spring. So they follow the bird song to the same spring, and they listen and enjoy the bird song and drink from the water. And so the wife is now young, and they return home. And then one day, the neighbor comes calling. Hello, I've just come to borrow a... What happened to you? You were old, but now you're young, and how is that possible? And they tell him about the spring. And of course, the farmer, being good, says, I want some of that for myself. So the farmer tears off into the forest, and he finds the spring, and he drinks, 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 because he's greedy, and he drinks, and he drinks. The couple wonder where this guy's gone. He doesn't come back. He hasn't come back to his farm in days. So they go looking for him, and they find the spring. And by the spring, they find a baby that they've longed for all their lives. And they take the baby home and raise it. And some say the boy, as it was a boy, as the story goes, grows up not to be greedy, but to be generous. Here's some questions for you to think about. Have you ever felt called to something? How did you know? What was the effect? Can you have too much of a good thing? How do you know when to stop? Enjoy Sunday Club, won't you? It's our tradition in Unitarian churches to share significant events of our spiritual lives in an open forum of fellowship. Events like these, just a suggestion. So I invite you now to deepen and to bind our fellowship and covenant with one another by sharing with us any recent event that's been significant on your spiritual journey, like those. And to mark that sharing by lighting a candle from our chalice and telling us a little bit about it. Now, there's no microphone. You can't use this for COVID safety. So you're going to have to use your outdoor voice. But you're also very welcome to light a candle in silence. And if you choose to remain still in your seats, you can still take part in widening this circle of compassion by listening with an open heart and mind and by refraining from commenting on individual shares. So I open this worship space for this sacred act that draws us together as a beloved community. It's spring. Anybody else excited by this? I mean, I thought it'd be winter forever. It's just the year we've had. And I was thinking about it the other day. By my calculation, if I live to the average Australian male age, which is by no means guaranteed, I only have about 20 or so springs left to see. It's not a lot, is it? It's an old saying that wise men grieve most for the loss of time. But I was reminded of a lovely poem by A.E. Housman about spring and how really few of these incredible transformations of the world we actually get. It was written when the poet was 20 and when the lifespan you expected was the biblical 70. It goes like this. The loveliest of trees, the cherry now, is hung with bloom along the bough, and stands about the woodland ride, wearing white for Eastertide. Now of my 80 years and 10, 20 will not come again, and take from 70 springs a score, it only leaves me 50 more. And since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs is little room, about the woodlands I will go, and see the cherry hung with snow. It's a kind of carpe diem, gather ye rosebuds while ye may, tempest fugit, time's winged chariot sort of sentiment. But how many springs do you think you have left? Oh, melancholy thought. But melancholy is not really the seed I wanted most to sow today in the receptive and fertile soil of your minds and hearts. The bright promise of early spring is too lovely and too rich in meaning to focus on the deficits. Because early spring is also seed-sowing time, a time when it's our human nature to re-enter our contract with capital N nature to fulfill our varied human needs. If we would seek meaning in our actual lived experience in this natural world, a rich harvest awaits us if we look deeply into the life and the death of seeds. I mean, who needs the supernatural when you've got the processes of the natural world, of which we are an emergence, so superbly attuned to us? Not that seeds as a metaphor is particularly original. I grant you, a certain Galilean prophet who shall remain nameless, God forbid we mention him, drew much of his teaching metaphors from the natural world, and seeds feature in many of the parables. You recall, I'm sure, the mustard seed, the tiniest seed that becomes a mighty shade tree, giving home to myriad creatures and respite for humans. Or you might remember the parable of the sower who casts seed far and wide, some of which falls on stony ground and becomes fodder for birds of the air, and some falls on thorns and gets choked out, and of course some finds purchase in good soil and then returns a manifold harvest. Faith, he said, was like a teensy insignificant seed that produces a big useful tree. Now this parable is often, well, I was going to say misunderstood, but mistaught. It's not a sales job for investing in the future church. Get in on the ground early and reap big rewards later. I think it means a little more than from little things, big things grow. How is faith like a seed? Well, first of all, we're not talking about belief. I mean, you don't have to believe in germination, do you? It just happens naturally when the conditions align. So the roots, the branches, the bark, the trunk, the leaves, the twigs, the flowers, the fruit, the entire mustard tree is already there in the seed. To have a seed of something is to have all of it. That's faith, as opposed to belief. Something you can't see, or things you can't see, that evidently actually cannot be sensed, but that we know exist nevertheless, just invisibly. Exists as potential, surely exists. You're not required to believe in it. It just requires faith for you to venture upon it by sowing it. If you have faith, faith will be given you. The seed will grow if you venture to sow it. You will reap real things if you have faith in invisible things. There's a kind of karma to this faith. What you sow in faith, you will reap in reality. Whatever the condition of your garden at home, say, it's living evidence of faith in things you have and haven't done, trusting unseen and unseeable processes and eventual results. But you know, cause and effect can never be seen, can't be seen, but its evidence is everywhere. The potentiality of the seed, the karma of practice, regularly doing the work of preparing, the forces of nature, all these things can't be seen. Such faith, as opposed to belief, as St. Paul called it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. St. Paul's was using the word, and it's been translated from hypostasis. It's a Greek word, which means standing under, underpinning, like you don't see the underpinning of your house, do you? But you know it's there because your house is upright. It's not visible, and you don't need to believe in it. This is faith embodied in the seed. Look, the tree entire, its shade, its bird life is right there. Can you see it? No. Is it there? Yes. That's faith. What you trust in, what you hope for, the way that nature coheres and makes sense. But you know, a seed like that is just an inert bit of matter without good soil to enfold it. Just as these words you hear today from Kutsia and from myself are just words, unless there is in you, the hearer, a receptiveness, a yielding. Like really good music, parables and metaphors can be too hip for the room. Like music, lost on unreceptive ground, or as good music is, perhaps on the tone deaf. The soil, the context of the sown seed matters. It needs our faithful agency to render it receptive. Have you, while listening to this, hardened the soil of your hearts to these words? If you have, they will yield nothing. In spring, that sown seeds may flourish, we also clear the debris from soil so seedlings can find the sun. From ancient times, our so-called spring cleaning, which you may be getting into now, wasn't about cleaning the inside of your house alone, but it was our early attempts to, and the word for it, I apologize, is to husband the land. To work with it in mutuality, lovingly managing it to meet our biological longing so that we may reap its nourishment and beauty. To clear the debris is to allow the forces of the soil and the rain and the sun, those unseen forces, to do their work upon the seed. For all our smug Unitarian skepticism, we do in fact live in faith like this, not only in what nature will do for us, but also faith in the unknowable future. The Greek proverb says, a society grows great when the old plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. That's faith. And for society, family, community, congregation. As Father's Day has just passed, it may be as well to recall that you are all, we are all, evidence of a joyous sowing of seed, a faithful, hopeful shot at how things ought to be one day, by and by. Whether or not that faith and hope has found purchase and fruitfulness is not the point. What matters is the faith in our ability to shape a future that keeps life going. Because life is precious, as spring reminds us. The founders of this church, too, they planted seeds in faith, and here we sit in the substantial shade of what they planted. That's a handbill for the First Minister John Crawford Wood's series of lectures, Sowing Seeds. Look beyond the founders of this church to the Garna who managed this land before them, their faith, faithfulness to their traditional custodianship of this land we sit on and reap benefit from. And beyond the Garna, the traditional custodians, beyond them, lie the everlasting forces of nature itself, ripe for human partnership. It is in our human work, it is in our human nature, our capital N nature, to work collaboratively with nature. And look around our church. You too have joined this unbroken conga line of faith that dances down the ages. But what's next? What and who, in only, say, the 20 years I have left to live, will be flourishing in the shade of this place? Gardens, if left untended, go to seed, become overgrown, and die to any use or ornament. Churches too can die. Sometimes it's right that they do. This country, this state alone, is littered with abandoned churches who did not sow seeds in faith for a future, did not gauge the rain or test the wind, did not spring clear, lost faith, ventured no seeds, and reaped a nothing. They remain as cautionary evidence of that karma. A person, a church, a society will only reap what it sows. It's magical thinking to assume it can reap anything else. Did those ruined church custodians lose faith in the future? Dare we lose faith that our patch of earth, given to our stewardship for so brief a window of time, can benefit anyone other than us? A gift, like a plot of land or an institution or a dwelling, comes with a solemn responsibility not just for its maintenance, but for its renewal. And that responsibility for renewal I embody in a ritual today. I ask you now, while Brendan plays a little music, to take up and affirm symbolically that faith and its responsibility for renewal by coming forward as Brendan plays and collecting one of these little biodegradable pots of earth containing some seed in it. Give it a tiny drink of water later, and the forces of nature contained in the seed and the soil, the plant and the flower and the fruit, or the nothing, will come, must come, depending on you. Like this church, these gifts are yours to do with whatever you choose. Nurture it, neglect it, re-gift it, discard it altogether. It will become whatever you do or don't do with it. Let this tiny offering symbolize our faith in a future we can't see, but will come, must come. And so I ask you to do this collection in respectful silence, as others do likewise. As Brendan plays, we'll maybe start with this side first and then move to that side. Please remember to socially distance as you proceed. Thank you all for appropriately socially distancing and for your respectful silence, and thank Brendan for the beautiful music to do that to. Have you started looking at the other people, what other people got? Is there enough soil in mine? They get more soil? Yeah. What is the seed I have been given? What could it be? Is it a native? Is it not a native? Will it grow? Will it flourish? Will I like it? Will it be pretty? Will it bear fruit? Have a little faith. Have a little faith. What is wrong with you? Have faith. The God of my particular understanding is both beautiful and terrible. It destroys to create anew. That's not a supernatural God, that's a natural God. The seed you bear will die to produce the plant. The seed you bear will die to produce the plant, which will in turn, and I'm assured of a 95% germination success rate with the particular seeds I've given you, produce abundant more seeds, which themselves will die and on, world without end. Your part in this is to recognize that always there are seeds you can sow. What are you prepared to sacrifice to die so that new life can emerge? Nature, including our human nature, provides ample ground for faith in the seeds we sow, both literally and figuratively. Faith in the renewal of life from death, from generation to generation. What is the seed you've been given? Will it grow? Will it be of use? Will I like it? My answer to all these is, have a little faith. May it be so. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoy this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.